Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and what are Paradigm Shifters? Folks that are making a difference in the collective of human consciousness at this time. And I have a wonderful, wonderful Paradigm Shifter with me today, whose name is Claudia Hare, who's a fellow Canadian, and she is a pet psychic. So welcome to the show, Claudia.
Thanks for having me, Veronica.
I'm very excited to talk to you. One of the things that was on your website, I believe I'm paraphrasing it probably with my own slant, was that you love to see the purpose of an animal in our lives. Maybe I'll let you talk a little bit about the role of animals in our lives. How's that?
Okay, yes, it's actually, that's a very, very interesting point, because most animals, they just see an animal as, you know, as a dog, a horse, a cat, or a cow, or so on. But animals are actually incredible teachers and healers and students as well. And so when an animal is with us in our lives, one way or another, it's not actually just a coincidence. There is actually a purpose to it. And when we listen to what our animals have to say, it really can make a huge difference in our lives.
But, you know, were you raised talking to animals? I mean, is this a gift you were born with?
Actually, when we communicate with animals, we do it through telepathy, and everybody has this ability.
Okay.
Most of us are just not aware of it. And I mean, okay, we all have it on different levels. Like, for example, we can all sing, but not everybody can make money with it.
Right.
But when I grew up, when I met an animal on the street or something, I knew what the animal was thinking or feeling. And I thought everybody else had the same experience.
Hmm.
And when I mentioned it to my mother, I mean, I was basically told to be quiet. This is, can't be, and if I would tell people, I would be, I would be taken away in a straitjacket. So basically that, those abilities did definitely not be nurtured by my, definitely not nurtured by my parents. Because some fellow animal communicators, they had the fortune of having very understanding parents. Like when I was a child, and every time I wanted to bring an animal into my life, I really, really had a hard time.
With your folks?
Yes, mm-hmm. Because I'm totally different than anybody else in my family. I mean, they love animals, but they are not really into having animals as animal companions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I wanted a bird, I mean, it was a huge thing.
But isn't it interesting? This show is called Paradigm Shifters, and many of us who are healers or whatever that means had to break out of the paradigm of our family. So we were all, you know what I mean? We threatened, we disrupted the status quo, did we not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's really funny that I really like the title of your show, because I always say that I would like to be a paradigm shifter and shift in the way people see animals.
Well, you're doing that, honey. You've come to the right place, because you're going to do that tonight for a bunch of people, aren't you?
Oh, that's perfect.
So, and you were talking about their animal companions and their purpose in our life. Maybe you could say a bit about that, and then we'll be specific with some people's questions.
Okay. I mean, there are many, many, many different examples I could give you. I'll give you two that just pop into my mind. For example, a client of mine, they called me, a young couple,
mm-hmm.
and they lived more in the outskirts of, close to Ottawa, actually. And they were having a really, you know, very basic life, you know, and we're really happy. And they had three indoor cats and five outdoor cats. And then one time they made a decision about changing their lifestyle and moving into the big city and opening a massage practice, and he wanted to do a 9-to-5 job and so on. And they were communicating to the animal companions that there would be a big move coming up. And the outdoor cats they were looking after, they were, so to speak, feral.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't adapt into city life. So they wanted to tell them what was going on and that they were trying to find them a new home, or they should find a new home. So, and they're told everybody. And then they asked the animals what they thought about it. And the animals said to them, they think it's the totally wrong decision, that they're basically on a crossroad right now. And if they would continue on this road, go ahead with the plans they had, their life, they wouldn't be together in probably 2 years.
Oh, wow. The animals told them that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, oh, no, 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 no. Anyway, I get a call around a week later, and that couple called me and said they changed their plan. They sold the house they bought in the city, and they're going to stay where they are. And what turned out was that he thought she wanted to do it, and she thought he wanted to do it, but they both didn't really want to do it.
Oh, how interesting.
And through the animals, they kind of had this really open talk.
So they were already communicating with their animals?
Through me, yes.
Oh,
but they were
you.
Then communicating with each other, because she really thought her husband wanted to do that, and she didn't want to be in his way, but wanted to stay there, and he did the same thing.
Oh, how interesting. So just through that communication, it changed their world. Tell us another one, and then we're going to change some people's worlds here.
For example, one of my animal companions, her name was Hira.
Mm-hmm.
She has left a physical body. But she's an incredible teacher, and she had been born with hip dysplasia.
Hmm.
So when she was between the age of 6 to 9 months, she had hip surgeries, and then at the age of 4 years, she was diagnosed with Addison's disease, and which is a very, very serious disease, and you can actually die of it. John F. Kennedy had it, and when she was diagnosed with it, I sat down with her and I said to her, Hira, what can I do? How can I help you? And she said to me, I get better when you get better. And so basically, she really made me have a look at my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what Addison's disease actually is, it is related with your adrenal glands, and it is very much related to stress.
Hmm.
In my entire childhood, my entire adult life till then, I had a lot of stress.
Hmm.
And when I change that, because our animals, they take on a lot of what's going on with us. So there's actually a mirror sometimes, you know, with animal health that's related to our health as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm fascinated by that. I know that's true.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Quite often when I communicate with animals and the eyesight is not good, and I ask the guardians, they wear glasses, you know, just as a small example.
Mm.
But anyway, so I changed a lot around, and it took quite a few years, but she actually got through her Addison's disease, like she got over it, and it's never been known. And it changed my life, and I think because of what she taught me, I didn't go down the road that I had all kinds of health issues. Plus, in the meantime, she taught me so much about alternative, about nutrition and so on, which I now take and pass on to everybody else.
How wonderful.
So she changed everything around with that thing, if I get better, if you get better.
Hmm.
But those are just some you know, two conversations that pop in my mind, but there's so many more. I mean, all of our animals, they really teach us so much if we just listen.
Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of interesting that we'll say animals take on the physical appearance of their owners, and I'm going, isn't that the same thing as kind of empathizing with us so much that we kind of look alike, or we feel alike, or we get the same illnesses or whatever?
Well, our animals, they're really selfless in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They really want to help. And they really show us signs. And if we don't listen, it's getting worse till they maybe take it on. And that's when the animal communication really comes in, because health issues or behavior issues is not just something. It's actually an outcry for help. There's way more to it than that.
And well, I've got two animals that are now urinating or defecating in unusual ways, and mm-hmm. I wonder if I could ask you about those, because I think those are really relevant symptoms of just what you're saying.
Absolutely, yes, please.
Okay, so one of them is a dog named Kaya, who's 12 years old.
Sorry, what's Kaya?
K-I-Y-A, Kaya.
Uh-huh.
And then she's a wonderful, very easy dog. And this woman went away and left a friend taking care of her, someone she trusts very much. And I'll just read this.
Do you have a description of Kaya before you read that, by any chance? Do you know what kind of dog?
Oh, Lord.
That would be very helpful.
She says she's a very awesome dog.
Okay. Usually I need a little bit more of a description, so let's see if I can get in touch with her anyway.
Okay, well, I have a different one if you want, but I would like to. Anyway, what happens is this woman went away, and Kaya, who, golly, I don't think she has a description. She She did it. She peed on the carpet in the guest room.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she did it because she was mad I was gone. I had the carpets cleaned, and for many months she left it alone. And then one day I noticed she went again on the carpet. I cleaned it again, blocked the room off while I was gone for a while. I stopped blocking it about 6 months ago because the spot in the guest room is one of her favorite areas to lay. Last week I came home and found the spot again. What is this about? I thought we had moved on from this.
There's a health issue with Kaya's guardian.
Aha.
There's a health issue.
Oh my.
And it's sort of in the upper chest.
Hmm. And Kaya's trying to get her yes. attention.
Yes.
Thank you for that. I think she's probably listening. And now this one's from Peg, and she has two cats that she got I think 12 or 13 years ago. She got them at 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, these two cats who are named Quartzy and Bonkers. Bonkers is a rather big, fat cat that looks like Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
And Quartzy is like a little like a calico. You know, it's got the orangey color in with
mm-hmm.
the black and so on. And they have taken to urinating in the strangest places. And now have even taken to pooping in the garage. So, you know, and she's at her wit's end, and she's wanting to give them up. So she wanted to know if that was the right thing. She does not know what to do.
Hang on a second.
They're both big. And they've both been lazy from birth. They're really fat.
Yes. No, don't give them up. All they need a little bit of change in their pace, in their life. They want to get out of the rhythm they're in. They need to be busier.
Hmm. Does that have something to do with her needing to change as well?
Yes. They're all in a rut. They have to get out of that rut.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. I had a lady, and it's very interesting because of cats, you know, not using the litter box,
mm-hmm.
because I think the number one reason for euthanization, cats, is actually not using the litter box.
Really?
Yep. And literally, when animals talk to us all the time,
mm.
like, you know, if you have a new neighbor and you greet him a few times and he doesn't greet you back, you say, fine, you know, there's just no connection.
Mm-hmm.
But animals talk to us all the time, right? They don't give up. But then things get more more important. So they think, okay, so far this hasn't worked. What can I do? Okay, maybe I stop eating. So what do? We take him to the vet. They get a pill or they get something else, right?
Right.
So the cat thinks, okay, that didn't work either. So what do I do now? They stop playing. Then we rationalize it out like, okay, maybe it's the age. They say, okay, that doesn't work. So what do I do? Okay, I'm not using the litter box. They get the attention. But it's usually the wrong attention.
Right.
So this one lady called me once. She said, oh, gosh, my cat is not using the litter box. What do I do, right? Got in touch with her cat, and the cat said, my guardian is dying internally. That was quite something. So I said, oops. And she said, wow. And so she said, it kind of started around 2 years ago. So she went back, and she said, well, one of her colleagues committed suicide or just died very suddenly. Sorry, I can't remember. I think just died very suddenly. It was a young woman. And the lady was quite shocked.
Hmm.
So she, you know, she did a little bit of therapy, but not much, and thought, okay, she's over it. And then now her cat, like I said, the urination was getting more and more persistent. So the cat said, she's really literally dying internally. She has to look in like she's not doing things anymore. She's kind of withdrawing herself and all of that. So the lady, you know, worked on it, and she said, you know what, it's true. I still haven't gotten over that shock. So she promised her cat that she would work on it, and her cat promised her that her cat would be like an antenna. If she was on the right path, she wouldn't urinate in the house. If she would get off that path, she would start urinating again.
Huh.
So it's, you know, animals are so incredible. There's so much more than just, I mean, I love all animals, and I think they're all beautiful, right? But there's so much more than just being, you know, a beautiful bunch of fur.
Well, let me ask you a couple more. Like, that's really fascinating. So I just want to continue going through a few more, if you will. There's one that you've already worked with. A cat's name is Jolie, after Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a description of her?
Yes, please.
She's medium brown hair, gray tabby, age 3, dark coloring around her mouth, looks like big luscious lips.
Okay.
She had a terrible persistent cough.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman wants to know if she's feeling better.
She still has a sore throat.
Oh, she does.
She still has a little bit of a sore throat, so it's not over yet.
Has it to do with her owner?
It has to do a little bit with the environment in the house.
Oh my! Is it an allergic reaction?
Not really allergic. It's just the environment in the house, the air, and the air quality in the house.
Hmm.
But it's not quite gone yet. The throat is still a little sore, and she's still a little bit, I don't want to say foggy in the head, but you know when you have a cold,
mm-hmm.
you're not quite 100% clear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still something that has to be worked on.
Okay, thank you. I hope she's hearing that. And now there's another one. This woman, and she didn't describe her dog here. It's quite a big dog. I think it might, I don't know if it's a golden retriever or what, but it had a lot of problems at birth, and they wanted to euthanize it at birth. And she's lived, her name is India, and she's lived to be, I think, 11 or 12. And my friend who wrote in about this would like to move on in her own life. She's between houses and wants to go off and seek her, you know, her own expression.
Mm-hmm.
And this dog almost passed recently, and the message was that she was going to stay for my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's not doing well again. So it's been amazing that she's lived this long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, her name is India, and her owner, Deb, just wondered if you had some comment on India and how she can best serve her. She loves her dearly and wonders if she should have her put down or if she...
Not quite yet. India says that her guardian, that Deb, should explore, but she's not at the right place yet.
Oh, she's not.
That's why India is holding on.
I mean, she's not at the right place in herself.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Now, can I keep going, or would you like, I mean, you're so interesting that I don't mind if you want to talk, darling.
No, just give me one more.
Spirit Walker is a horse who belongs to my friend Vicky. And Spirit Walker has really put some amazing, he seems to be an amazing reflection of what Vicky's inner is going through, or Vicky's transformational side is going through. But anyway, she says here, Spirit Walker right now bobs his head and tilts to the side off left or right shoulder like a fly is on his nose, only there's no fly. Is this due to allergies? Is there a homeopathic that would work to help him with his allergies?
The first thing that he said to me is that he has some issues with his back.
Oh, my.
So she might want to have the back adjusted, maybe, so a chiropractic adjustment or something, and then probably also the neck as well, because the nose is, it kind of comes through the neck, and the nose is almost like, it's almost like a tingling.
Mm-hmm.
So that should help as well.
And I know that this horse has had a particularly kind of mercurial nature, a lot of anger,
mm-hmm.
a lot of like real arrogance. And can you see anything about that?
The most thing that comes to Spirit Walker right now, she has to work on the back and the neck. That's
okay.
The number one thing. And then once that's dealt with, it can go with the next thing.
Well, and here's one. Zoe is a cat.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm getting any description. I don't think she left. I think she's 6 years old. She's a cat. She's 4 to 5 years old. And she's a cat and... very loving, and this woman promised her she would never leave her abandoned, as she's always felt that she was herself. But again, this is another one who wants to move on in her life, and she's so worried about Zoe and whether she can move Zoe on or whether Zoe should be left with someone so that she wouldn't be so disrupted, or can you get any sense of that?
I wish I would have a better description because there's a lot of stories out there.
I'm sorry.
So I only get a little bit, but it's not enough.
Okay. I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay. It's just better if you have, for example, a lady called me once and she said, my daughter, you know, her daughter asked her to call me,
mm-hmm.
who has a horse, and it's in a stable, and there's roughly 20 horses, and they're all chestnut, and she said, can you please check this and this and this and this, but she didn't have a name, and she didn't have a description, so which of those 20 horses was it? You know what I mean? So it's easier if you get a little bit of more details that I know exactly who I'm talking to.
Okay, so I have one for you. His name is Junior, and he's a Maltese, and he's white and curly-haired and very, very cute. He's 11 pounds. He's 11 years old.
Okay.
And he's been handed on twice in his life.
Okay. First of all, sorry, Van Anderup. Couple of things. He says that his joints, especially on his right shoulder, are bugging him a little bit.
Oh, my. Because he started to stretch weirdly lately, and I wondered if that was sort of a rheumatic thing or what. Does he like... He's ours. He was handed to us.
Mm-hmm.
Does he like it here? Are we treating him well? I am not a dog person, but I'm learning to be one pretty fast.
He says once in a while he would like it if you have more time with him, just one-on-one, sit on the couch with him on the bed and just spend a few minutes just with him and just focusing on him rather than on work and everybody else.
Oh, okay.
Thank and he also says his eyesight is not 20/20.
No, I heard he's getting cataracts.
So, yeah.
I don't think I am, though. But he hasn't been with us that long, so I don't think he's a...
With him, it's a slow thing. It's not that in the last 6 months it got really bad. It's a slow thing.
Oh, okay. Now, here's another one. Tui is 8 months old. She's a mini black labradoodle cockapoo mix. Good grief. She has a rather nervous disposition, is quite fearful and anxious around some men, and weird, strange, unusual noises.
Mm-hmm.
I've done masses of socialization with her already, and we are, of course, continuing to work on these issues on a daily basis with training and positive treat reinforcement. But I'm wondering, is your friend maybe able to pick up anything in her temperament or past that might give clues as to what would be helpful for her in managing this better?
Yes. She has been roughly handled by men.
Oh, my.
And that gives her fear. And the thing is that if you use just a regular training, it won't help because what you do is you try to desensitize them by doing it again and again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And she has fear, and the fear doesn't go away just by keep on doing it. It's actually getting worse. So what she should do is, for example, say, okay, Tui, there's a gentleman coming. I trust him. He's safe. He's just going to check you out.
So when you're saying talk to them, you mean actually just verbally talking to them?
Yes. I had a friend of mine. They had actually a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
And from a breeder with 8 weeks, and the family, it's a lovely family. They would never, ever raise the hand to their dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
But her dog was also very afraid of men. So they just couldn't figure out what, how, and what. So when I talked to her, she said, you know, at the breeders, at a really, really young age, that there was a man who was... He was helping the breeder and wasn't treating the dogs very nicely. So every time, you know, a man came into the house, she freaked out, so to speak. So what I said to her is, what do you need? And she said, I'm really afraid to meet them right in the house. You know, it's just, I can't go anywhere. So we decided that it would help her if she meets the people in front of the house. So every time somebody came, let's say a friend came, they said, you know, ring the doorbell, walk back into the driveway, and we come out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They did it a few times, and there were no more issues.
Oh, well, that's great. Now, I think we have a caller. Would you like to take a caller?
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you? Hi, Veronica. Hi, Claudia.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you can hear me.
I can, but you're very muffled.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but you're not very clear. You're very muffled.
Oh, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Am I speaking to who?
This is Veronica, but Claudia is going to answer your question. Do you have a question for Claudia?
Yes, I do. I'm listening right now to the radio. I'm calling first of all from Canada. And maybe that's why you're hearing me quite this far. My question, I have two sisters, white and beige, but they have passed, they are on the bridge. But right now I have a very strong feeling that one of them, the female, needs to tell me something. And I don't know if Claudia can help me with that.
Could you hear her, Claudia?
Not really, no.
I'm sorry. Maybe you want to call back because your voice is very, it's very difficult to hear what you're saying.
Okay.
It's just so muffled.
Let me see if I can put the speaker up.
Hello?
I tried to put the speaker up as much as I can. But
that's
I don't
better.
Know.
That's better. If you could try one more time.
Yes. Okay, it's better?
Yes.
Let me see if I can be a little bit better. Okay. And my question is, I have two sisters that they had passed on. I have my female sister, white and cream beige, that she's asking me to call Claudia because she's got something to tell me.
Okay. Now, sorry, I only understood white and beige. You talk about a dog or a cat. I didn't understand that. I'm so sorry.
Beige and white.
But what kind
are
of
they?
Animal?
Shih Tzu.
I think she said Shih Tzu.
Oh, okay. And what's the name, please?
The name of the animal?
Yes.
Is Scarlet.
Scarlet?
Scarlet.
Scarlet?
Yes.
Is that a starlet?
Is that blue or white?
He says that there's some issue with the heart. There's
the name of the animal is Scarlet.
Pardon me?
Scarlet.
Yes. Says there is a little bit, there's an issue with the heart. There's a heart issue.
Oh, she's already passed on.
Yes, but there's a heart issue in the family. It's not telling who.
She's asking me to call Claudia because she needs to tell me something.
He needs to tell her something.
Claudia needs to explain to me something.
Sorry, I'm really having a very, very hard time to understand it.
It's very hard to hear you. I'm sorry, but you may have to say email Claudia after. Would that be all right, Claudia?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, if you could email Claudia, Claudia Hare, is it?
It's talk, TALK. At claudiahair.com. That's claudiahair.com.
It's just a bad connection and it's hard to hear you.
You can also email me your telephone number and I'll call you back.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks
very much.
Sorry, I just got half of it, so.
Yeah, that's too bad, isn't it? Yeah.
But there's definitely, there's something with the heart going on in the family, a heart issue.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting, because I think she was saying there were two dogs, you know. Have you hung up? Make sure that you've hung up. Sometimes it disrupts the radio. You know, I know a cat named Hannah,
mm-hmm.
and Hannah was given to someone else about 10 years ago. She's now 20. No, it's about 8 years ago. She's mm-hmm. now 20. And I've always wondered, she was abused as a little one.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a gray, very fluffy, very aloof cat.
Mm-hmm.
And she was well treated, but still remained aloof, and then was given to another family about 8 years ago, and is now 20. And I wonder if you can see if she's been okay. Has her life been okay? Did she recover from the abuse that she'd had?
Yes. Well, it's the abuse, like emotionally, she always thinks about it. So it's not that it's over.
She thinks about the past, but definitely is enjoying her life now.
Okay, so she's all right.
She's fine.
And I think it's fascinating. I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the roles of animals and how people can learn to communicate, because I have this dog, Junior, but, you know, and I'm an intuitive, but I'm flummoxed a bit by animals, if you understand what I mean, and want to learn.
The thing is that we all communicate with our animals all the time. We just don't know it, but we do it anyway.
Mm.
And the way we communicate with animals is through telepathy, which is also known as the universal language. The thing is when we speak and when we think, we send out telepathic messages all the time. You can compare to the radio, actually the radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a radio station somewhere, and they're sending out waves all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just 24/7. They send it out, send it out, send it out. And when you turn on your radio and go to that station, your radio transforms those waves into what you then hear.
It's like a basket that catches them, yeah?
Exactly. So we work the same way. Every time when we say something or when we think, we actually send out waves.
Right.
And those waves can actually be measured now. There's ways that you can measure it. They've done tests, for example, where they put somebody in a steel room and let the person read something. And then they measured on the outside what was coming out. And depending on what the person was reading, something happy, something sad, those brain waves changed. So you can measure those waves. So what's happening is that, again, we send them out all the time, and you sometimes get it already, but most people think, you know, it's a fluke, it's sixth sense or whatever, because they've never been taught how to use telepathy. But you can reawaken that. Now, when you talk about your own animal companion, sometimes what can happen is because you're emotionally so attached, you might not hear what you get. Because let's say Junior is not feeling well, right?
Right.
And you want to talk to Junior and think, okay, I have to ask Junior what's going on, but oh gosh, I'm so worried. You know, I don't want him to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks pretty okay. His eyes are okay. He ate this morning and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Junior hears that and thinks, ah, you know what, you're right. I'm not feeling too good, but it's not too bad.
Hmm.
You know, so you kind of change already the outcome.
Hmm.
Or you're just emotionally so attached that you just can't hear it, that it's just too much.
Hmm.
But the most important thing is that we have to see animals as equals, as living, breathing souls with feelings and emotions just like us. I mean, if you think about it, there are billions of people around, and hardly anybody looks like the other unless you're identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
We all look different.
Mm-hmm.
The same with animals. They are just like us, except that they have a different outer shell, which is wonderful, because how horrible would this world be if there wouldn't be animals around?
Well, yeah, and I find it's so amazing how this little being fills the house in an interesting way. I don't mean he's noisy, because he's not. But what about, you know, sleeping with people? Do you have to have them sleeping with you? Can you, you know, because we don't let them, and I'm just wondering.
It depends.
And the other thing is he's a picky eater, and I know as many other animals are too. What do you do about that?
Well, you can always, with eating is, I would personally ask them and say what's going on, because quite often what I found is that certain foods, they have problems digesting it, or they might have, they might have problems with their teeth. There could be all kinds of stuff. The food could be too hard, or anything, you know, but that's definitely a good idea to find out, because if it's digestion, you know, you can find out, is it that something you can't digest good, or is it altogether?
Can you tell why Junior doesn't eat his dinner a lot?
Hang on. He basically doesn't like his food. He would like to have what you have.
I thought that wasn't a good idea.
Why?
Because I read that because they sell dog food, and I thought that's important.
Yes.
And because I heard they don't have the enzymes to process what we eat.
What's really important to say, because people always say don't feed animals, like dogs and cats, human food, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is in dog food? I mean, there is meat in it, there are vegetables in it, they don't put stones in it, there is human food in it. The thing is that what's wrong is when people put their stuff that they don't eat, like, you know, if you have a piece of meat and you would cut all the fat off and would give that to your dog, that wouldn't be good. Like my animal companions, like I'm a vegetarian, but my dogs and cats, they're carnivores, so I give them meat. Mm-hmm. I actually feed raw. I make my own meat, but they get the same vegetables that I do, and they get meat.
Hmm.
But you also, I mean, you have to make sure that they get what they need. I mean, it's like us. I mean, if you look at the food pyramid, right,
mm-hmm.
there are certain things that we should have. And that's the same with the animals. They need a certain percent of protein, certain percent of complex carbohydrates, and so on. But in general, dog food and cat food, there is human food in it.
Hmm. I guess that makes sense. I guess we thought we were doing the right thing. He likes treats a lot.
You got to be really careful what type of dog food you and cat food you feed.
So thank you for that. And I want to talk about your teleclasses, but I know we have another caller.
Okay.
I'm almost reluctant to take it, so I just want to warn everybody at home, if this call doesn't come through well, we're not going to accept it. We're just going to cut it short, okay? So you're on the air. Let's give it a run.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Claudia. I have three terriers, and a couple of them are not getting along very well right now. Two of them are siblings. They get along, but another one is not getting along. And my concern is if they're ever going to get along. And secondly, I'm concerned because the one terrier, he's a little toy fox terrier, he seems to have some issues with his back and his legs. And we've been getting him treated with acupuncture, but we're concerned if he bumps himself or if my other terrier might go after him and hurt him more.
Okay. Hang on, we got a lot of stuff here. What are your terrier's names? What are the siblings' names?
Hector, who
okay.
is the one with his back problem, and his sister is Pee-wee, and there's a Jack Russell by the name of Muttley.
Okay,
Muttley is
the one that's left out, right?
That's, I'm sorry?
Muttley is the one that's not a sibling, right?
Correct.
Okay. How old are Pastor and Kiwi?
I'm sorry?
How old are they, the siblings?
Hector is 8 and Pee-wee is 9.
And Muttley's?
He is also 8.
8. Okay. He feels that he is the third wheel on the wagon, so to speak.
Yes.
That he's the left out one. And that has to do with that. You could sit down, it probably will take a little bit longer than just a few minutes that we have.
Yes.
But for example, I have 3 dogs and 3 cats, right?
Yes.
And to make sure that everybody gets along, I really sit down with them and talk about it, that how important it is that we all one family, and that that it's a big family, but that we love each other, and you know, all of those kind of things.
Yes.
And that then one thing it's also really important, that's actually good that we, when you're calling here, because that's something I would like everybody to take with them.
Yeah.
When we speak and when we think, as I mentioned before, you send out telepathic messages, right?
Yes.
We actually never finished that the moment I started. But what's really important to see is that with telepathy, negatives don't come through. What that means, I give you an example. If you have a dog, Buddy, and Buddy likes to jump, and you say, Buddy, please don't jump, what do you picture? You picture Buddy jumping.
Yeah.
So you would have to say, Buddy, please keep all 4 feet on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Now, humans live in the don'ts, and I always say, think about driving a car. It's don't pass, don't speed, don't park, and then an end.
Mm-hmm.
And even the don't pass sign are 2 cars beside each other rather than 2 cars behind each other. So when, with you guys, when I brought one of my cats in, she wasn't quite happy with the dogs, and she was hissing and spitting and you name it. So I sat down with her and I said, listen, we are one family and we're all getting along, and at one point, you know, be nice to each other, soft paws, licks only. And I pictured them all, over and over again, just passing by each other, snuggling up with each other, and that. And it took a bit, but boom, they're getting along. They eat all out of one bowl.
Oh, wow.
So rather than saying, don't fight with your brother, So the same thing with you guys. So don't say, don't fight, don't do this. You say, just, you know, just ignore each other. Or just sit beside each other. So say what you want. Don't say what you don't want. This is really, really, really important. And everybody can take that home. Say what you want. Don't say what you don't want. The same if you have problems with separation anxiety. Most people say, oh, I'll be right back, and then they'll leave. So over and over and over again, you're telling your animal, you'll be right back, and you might go on holiday for 2 weeks. Tell your animal companion where you go, what you do, what time you will be back, and what you like them to do. And usually after a short period of time, because they know what you say is the truth, happens,
okay,
they will stop.
We are trying to, you know, we stay, like, let's say, in one room, all of us as, you know, as a family, and it seems to work out really well with that, but we just can't leave them together. So, I mean, if we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that the main concern also, not so much that, is Hector, who's been having some back issues. And so we don't want, he can't really jump up or jump down now.
Yes.
So he's limited.
Yes.
And we, you know, between that and the tension between the other dogs going,
yes,
on, it's just causing some...
It's very important, too, because you separate them, they think... You have to tell them why you separate them.
Okay.
You have to tell them, we're separating you because Pastor has some issues with his back, and it has to be, he has to stay nice and calm, so there's not much playing going on.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
one thing I haven't done, Claudia. I can't believe I didn't do that.
And also because, so you tell them, and you, later on you can actually give them another example. I had a lady who adopted, she wanted to, she had two cats at home, and she wanted to adopt a little pug, and she came home with a Saint Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her cats were very small, and the Saint Bernard liked to play with the cats. But she was terrified because you're talking about 120-pound difference.
Yeah.
So she said to me, you know what, I have to bring her back to the pound because I'm so scared. And I said, let me talk to her first. So I said to the Saint Bernard, I said to her, listen, if you want to stay in this house, you got to stop playing with the cats. If you don't stop, you go back to the shelter. And she was so sad because she really just wanted to play with the cats, but she never played with them again.
Couldn't she have been taught to play with the cats nicely?
No, I really need
she
to
could have. It was just that the lady was too nervous. So
I need to tell my carriers why.
Tell them, yeah, and say to them, too, you know what, if you're nice and calm, you can have the run of the house,
yeah,
if we're there or not. But as long as there's a little bit of friction, we have to separate you to make sure you're all safe,
uh-huh,
and it's also so that Pastor's back is going to be that he's you know, calm and quiet. So
okay,
they understand why you're doing it, because otherwise it could be a punishment, it could be anything.
Right,
maybe
right.
You
don't want them
to be together,
yet.
You know?
Yeah, okay. Do you think that Muttley would do well with another friend or a partner? Because he did have one, and she died a couple years ago, and so he doesn't really, you know, because Pee Wee and Hector are together, but he doesn't really have anybody.
He would love it.
Really?
But you might have then two parties. You
okay
have to sit down with them and also say then if the other one comes in case the other dog would go then with Pastor and Peavy, because then Mudlings would be left out again. So you have
oh
to find the right companion, but you can
right
talk to them about it. But he would love it.
Oh, yeah. He's a little aggressive, and that's the only reason why we've been a little hesitant about doing it, but we've definitely thought about it, and I think he could use it. So,
but again, keep on saying to him, be nice and gentle,
uh-huh,
and calm.
Calm.
Well,
we have to stay calm. Yeah.
One time I was helping out two friends of mine. They both had to go away, and they asked me if I could walk their dogs. And I said, sure, no problem. One of got the golden retriever, a really big golden retriever, again, over 100 pounds. He was actually my godchild. And my other friends, they had a big Briard.
Yeah.
So it was a hot day, so I drove with the golden retriever to the place of the Briard, and went in the house really fast to get the Briard out, and then I thought, okay, now I'll walk them together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walking towards my car, and the two dogs through the window, they were killing each other, and I thought, oh, this is not good. So I thought, okay, well, I got to walk them together because it's too hot to leave the golden retriever in the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I said to both of them, I said, listen, I don't care if you like each other or not, but during this walk, you're getting along. One is looking one way and one is looking the other way, and that's how we're going to walk. And we did. One who was walking on the left looked to the left, never to look to the right, and the other one the same way. We went for a short walk. It was only 15 minutes, but they never looked at each other.
Wow. So it doesn't take very long to impact them.
No.
So,
But it's really important that you mean what you say.
Okay.
Because if you say something but you mean something different, they get the meaning of what you think because that's telepathy. So if you have a cat, people say to me, you know, when I have to go to the vet and I call my cat, she never comes because they say, let's say, Kitty, Kitty, please come. I have a treat for you. And then they are quiet, and then they think, as soon as you come, I'll grab you and you get into the carrier. Kitty hears that, so Kitty doesn't come.
Can I ask a question before we run out of time about grief? You talked about your dog, Muttley, had a partner who died, but I'm thinking of a dog named Sabrina, who was a little corgi, and she had a partner, Fabio, who died, and I think Sabrina went through some tremendous grief. Do you have any instructions on how to help them with that?
Yes. The most important part is that before one of the animal moves on, let everybody know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because quite often what happens is that people go take the animal that is ill, they go to the vet, and then they never come back.
Hmm.
So if you tell them beforehand that, you know, what's going to happen, or you can even bring the body back so they can say goodbye. It really, really helps. But if they know beforehand, then and you give them the chance to say goodbye, it will help.
You're saying that really Muttley didn't have a chance to say goodbye, and that affected him. And we know he was upset.
Yes. They do grieve. So, but if you know beforehand, for example, like I always talk to animals and ask if they're ready or not. Like my little girl Hira, when she moved on, I said to her, "You have because she had hip problems and you know she had all kinds of issues." Then she was 12 with her surgeries and stuff. And one day she said to me, because I kept on saying to her, "I can't make this decision. You have to tell me." And because quite often what I find is that over 90% of the animals have to leave too early. They're not ready.
Hmm.
So my little girl, at night I always have a longer chat with them, and she said to me, okay, it's time now. She wanted to move on. So of course it's a shock when you hear that. And so the next morning I said to her, are you still sure? And she said, yes. And I said, when? She said, tomorrow. So I made all the arrangements,
mm-hmm.
and all my other, you know, my other dog knew about it. I actually had the vet coming, and it was very smooth for everybody, very smooth.
Hmm.
Because she was ready and everybody knew.
Because they understand the astral, too, and they understand spirit,
yes.
Don't they?
And, I mean, I have had, too, that when animals, again, when they are taken without knowing it, that when I communicate with them, I can actually, for example, I had that not that long ago, there was this cat, and her mother, she was taken away from her mother, right? And she never really got over that. And her mother had moved on since, I like calling it moving on because, you know, you're not really dying. You're moving into the next part of your journey because
mm-hmm.
the soul never dies. So her mother already had moved on. So I was actually able to connect those two together.
Excellent.
And I had that today, too, with two cats. Actually, those two cats not getting along either, and they were missing one of the other cats that had moved on 4 years ago. So I got in touch with that cat that moved on, who was then able to get in touch with all two, with the other two as well, and it was a huge greeting.
So with Sabrina and Fabio, it might be an idea to have someone connect those two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that
but if there's ever this situation with the moving on. It's really important to tell them before, and if you didn't have the chance, tell them after so that they know what's going. It's not that all of a sudden they are gone, and where are they?
Well, we could keep you for a long time, but we're running out of time here.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome. And, yes, please do have that back checked out, he says.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
He says, Pastor says, please do something with the back. You have to work on that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, well, we're probably going to get some more acupuncture.
Have you tried chiropractic?
No.
Try that.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll start working on that this evening.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, quickly give your how people can get hold of you and talk about your teleclasses. You've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. You can call me at 705-434-4679, 705-434-4679, or check out my website. It's claudiahair.com. That's claudiahehr.com.
Excellent. I've really enjoyed this, and I know that you have teleclasses for people who would like to learn to be more empathic with their animals, communicate with animals.
And sorry?
Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, I teach through a teleclass, so it's over the phone, how to communicate with animals. It's a five-week series, and you will learn, you know, what is telepathy, how you can do it, and you will actually communicate with animals.
That sounds really wonderful. And will people find that out on your website?
It's on my website, and I have actually something really nice coming up in the first week of December. I do it every year. It's a little fundraiser where you can make an appointment to communicate with your animal to find out what the animal wants for Christmas. It's what I want from Christmas, and I do it every year, and it's really wonderful.
How wonderful. What a great service.
So it's not a regular session, you know, that you can ask, like, health and behavior and stuff. This is really just to find out what your animal companion would like for Christmas. So you know what to go, what you can do shopping, and they're really happy when they get what they want.
And I wanted to ask you one more thing. I'm pushing it here, but about the soul. I'm really interested in the soul journeying of an animal. I know of healers who will wait for the incarnation of their animal that's passed and so on. Do you know a lot about that?
I've learned a lot because, I would say at least, 30-40% of my work is actually communicating with animals that have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot about what's going on the other side. It's not really the other side, in the other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that is really important, when one of your animal companions has left the physical body, please, please stay in touch. Because they always are in touch with us, but we think because we don't see them anymore, they're not in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say to me, but I'm always the one getting, you know, connecting with them. No, it's when sometimes, you know, your animal companion pops into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we always think it's us thinking about them, but quite often they actually think about us.
Wonderful.
Like when you're on the phone, who called whom first, right?
And are they learning and learning like we are as souls?
Absolutely. Like us, they're all on a different level, mm-hmm. and they're all learning. And once they have left the physical body, you have no idea how they can guide you and what they can tell you. And, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. Please, please stay in touch with them because our animal companions are some of the closest friends that we have.
Wonderful.
And just because they're moving on doesn't mean that they're gone. If you have a son or a daughter or a good friend who moves into another city, other country, whatever, you still stay in touch with email, calls, whatever, whatever. Do the same with your animal companions because they really, really appreciate it.
Well, many blessings to you, my dear friend, and I'm really grateful for this show. It's been fun and interesting, and I'm certainly going to feed Junior what I have.
Thanks so much for having me, Veronica. It was wonderful, and it was such an honor to meet everybody on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Many blessings, everyone. Next week's Paradigm Shifter is a fellow called Stephen Pollett who works on source energy. He's got a book, a downloadable book called Heal Thyself. He's talking about energy research, which is finding the cause of every disease, illness, issue, imbalance, and so on. And he's going to be very fascinating. You might want to check it out before we tune into the show, which is Stephen Pollett, P-O-L-L-I-T, and it's www.sourceenergymedicine.net. Again, that's sourceenergymedicine.net. And I sure look forward to talking to you on Tuesday, Radiance by Design, 4 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, Paradigm Shifters with Stephen Pollett. and have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. We have so much to be grateful for. And I'm grateful for you and for BBS Radio and all this amazing paradigm shifting that's going on from all of us and to all of you. Much love.